Most of you know today is New Year's Eve. It's the day that we all know is a time to make resolutions, right? It's a day to be like, this year, this upcoming year, I'm going to be different. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to read a book a week. I'm going to exercise. We have all these goals that we set. How many of you guys, any of you guys set New Year's resolutions? A couple? Yeah. I usually don't because I know I'll break them, but it's a popular thing to do, right? It's a popular thing to look back on this year and reflect, do a little self-assessment. And although I'm not necessarily a huge fan of New Year's resolutions, I think that it's a proper time of the year for us as believers to do a little bit of self-assessment, to take an honest look at our lives and view and consider the ways that we can change, the ways that we can improve. Perhaps things in our lives that need to be better. So as some of you may have noticed in the bulletin, the title for my message is a little dramatic. As soon as I text Pastor Cole, I realized that it's a little more dramatic, and I'm not particularly a dramatic person, but the title is, Am I Wasting My Life? Which obviously would be a big issue. So what I wanted us to do today, and this was a hard process for me to do myself, so let me at the outset make a couple disclaimers. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad about themselves or to be like, oh man, I'm really messing up. The idea is just for some self-reflection that hopefully will motivate us and spur us on to change. So some questions to maybe consider about whether or not I am wasting my life, you are wasting your life. What am I accomplishing? What am I doing that is significant? What do I care about? Am I wandering my way through life, or am I heading to a destination? Am I doing anything in my life that will have an influence for Jesus Christ? Am I attaining success in my life, but not attaining significance? This one's rough. How much time am I spending each day on things that do not matter? And then perhaps, yeah, I wanted to rest on that one for a bit. But perhaps one of the ones that also kind of made a difference for me, if I were to stand myself up against a growth chart, right? I'm 33 now. Been a believer since I was a little boy. If I was to stand myself up against a growth chart, would there be a distance between where I am today as a 33-year-old versus where I was as a teenager striving to follow God? Is there a great distance, or have I become stagnant? Things to consider. Not fun things to consider, but things that I think are important for each one of us to consider. In order to be able to accurately, or I guess stand up here and talk about, am I wasting my life, it's probably important for us to figure out what not wasting our life entails, right? If we can't really assess, am I wasting something, unless we know what the purpose is. So I wanted to start off by just talking about what I feel, or more importantly, because what I feel probably doesn't matter, but there's this really famous guy named Howie Hendricks, and he taught at Dallas Theological Seminary for a long time, and he wrote a book on mentoring, on discipleship. And in it, he has a great quote about the goal of life in Christ, right? And he sums it up very succinctly, and I want to use that to kind of be the measuring stick as far as for each one of us in considering, are we wasting parts of our life? And it's this. The Bible tells us that the goal of life in Christ is that we become like Christ. Christ-likeness is our ultimate objective. A very simple truth, right? Christ-likeness is our ultimate objective. Simple yet profound, something to hang on to in determining whether or not we're wasting our lives. So a simple truth is a good place, I think, for us to start. So Roddy's message in dealing with mentoring focused a lot on time. Mine's a little more geared to the younger audience. You know, teenagers, high school, young adults, but the principles apply to all of us. But know that in my preparation, that was kind of the audience I was more targeting. But the truths are applicable to all. The passage that I'm going to spend time on wasn't on the scripture reading for today, but it's found in Philippians chapter 3. And as I read the passage, I want us to be considering three different things. The first thing I would like for us to consider is to listen carefully, because I'm not going to go through the verse by verse in great detail, but more talk about some of these points focused more on the idea of mentoring. So please consider the language that Paul is using in his letter to the Philippians, the emphasis that he's putting on attaining his goal, right? He's going to use different adjectives that are going to show that he strongly wants us or that he's strongly moving towards this goal, that he's putting a lot of effort into it. And then I also want us to listen for Paul's call to imitate him, Paul's call to the Philippians to imitate him, to consider his actions. And I'm going to start in verse 8. All right, so this is a pretty famous passage for those of you guys who might know. Paul is going to contrast, he talks about his human credentials, that he's, you know, he's got tons of human credentials, right? He's a Hebrew of Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin, that he had a lot of zeal, that he was flawless in the law. And then he moves on from that, though, and verse 8 is where I'm going to pick up. And I'm reading from the NET Bible, but I'm going to throw in some NIV phrases in case anyone out there is following along that way. More than that, I now regard all things as liabilities compared to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, or the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Indeed, I regard them as dung or garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not because I have my own righteousness that's derived from the law, but because I have the righteousness that comes by way of Christ's faithfulness, a righteousness from God that is in fact based on Christ's faithfulness. My aim is to know him. I want to know Christ, yes, to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his suffering, and to be like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, that is, I have not already been perfective or arrived at my goal, but I strive to lay hold, I press on, of that for which Christ Jesus also lays hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have attained this. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out to the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I press on toward the goal. I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let those of us who are perfect or who are mature embrace this point of view. If you think otherwise, God will reveal to you the error of your ways. Nevertheless, let us live up to the standard that we have already attained. Be imitators of me. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and watch carefully those who are living this way, just as you have us as an example. For many live, about whom I have often told you, and now with tears I tell you that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They exalt in their shame, and they think about earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we also await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform these humble bodies of ours into the likeness of his glorious body by means of the power by which he is able to subject all things to himself. I hope that as I read, I could kind of enunciate some of the verbs, the adjectives that the Apostle Paul is using to speak to the Philippians. And before I get back into it, I wanted us to consider some of the wasteful habits that we develop. How do we get rid of those? How do we pursue growth in Christ-likeness in all areas of our lives? How do we make sure that we live a life that's not wasted, that's focused on Christ? We have many things today that prevent and distract us from growth. We live in a society, in a day and age where we're just bombarded by news and information and social media. There's so many different things that distract us, that take our time. It's amazing to me how I could sit for a few hours and just like scroll through the news and realize, wow, I just wasted a few hours of my life. You know, what did I really learn? There's so many things that distract us. There's so many things that take away from that ultimate simple objective that we have, Christ-likeness in all areas. How do we get rid of this? How do we prevent ourselves from wasting time, from wasting away? I think it becomes even harder when you consider some of the good things that we have in our lives that are necessary. For instance, most of us have to do some sort of work. It takes time. And the fear there is that oftentimes when we talk about growing or becoming more like Christ, that sounds hard. That sounds difficult. But if I can kind of pass that to the side by filling it with things that are necessary for me to do, I don't have to think about what's hard, right? If I can pour myself into work instead of focusing on change and growth, I can distract myself from what's really important and even make myself feel better that, you know, I'll do that when I have time, but this is what I have to do right now. Anyways, I think that when we consider these types of issues, it's important for us to go back to the basics. I'm somebody who struggled at different times of my life with self-doubt, with worry, with anxiety. And one of the things that's helped me, although I still struggle, is to take a simple truth, right? A simple truth and focus on it. So, for example, I might not know what I'm supposed to be doing today, right? Some of you guys are in high school. Some of you guys are in college. Some of you guys are in your first career. Some of you guys don't want to be in that first career. And you might not know what you're supposed to be doing. And it might cause stress. It might cause anxiety. It might cause you to distract yourself by wasteful habits instead of having to face those types of issues. And I have found that one of the things that really helps me is to focus on what I know to be true. And that is this simple objective of mine as a believer and as yours, that Christ-likeness is our ultimate objective. Growth in Christ is our ultimate objective. And we can be pursuing that even if we don't know some of the other things about our lives. We know that one constant, that we are to grow, we are to be like Christ. So, from the passage that I read in Philippians, I have 3 points, because I like three. I think it's because I grew up in a Baptist church. So anyways, first point. From Philippians, we see that growth must be a priority. And this is evident in all of Paul's letters. So you really could have chosen a lot of different passages that talk about growth and talk about the way to grow. But it's evident from Paul's letter that growth must be a priority. In fact, in the first chapter of Philippians, Paul has a prayer for the Philippians that kind of sets this out. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can determine what really matters and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. Or chapter 3, verse 8, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3, that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in him. Verse 10, my aim, my goal is to know him. I am single-minded, verse 13, with this goal in mind, or as I pursue my goal, verse 14. It's abundantly clear that Paul, his priority is growth. His priority is to be found in Christ, to know Christ, to live for Christ. It's the top of his list. I imagine that if Paul were here, we wouldn't all get tired, but he would be talking about growing in Christ and knowing Christ all the time, right? There would be no doubt of what Paul's goal was, his single-minded goal, to grow in Christ. Second point. Unfortunately, this one's a little bit more difficult. Growth takes hard work, dedication, a willingness to push our comfort zones and avoid complacency. Again, some of those adjectives that Paul uses in Philippians and in other letters as well. He strives to lay hold. He's reaching out. He's enduring. He's suffering. He's being persecuted. He's enduring hardships and afflictions. Growth in Christ is not easy. It's hard. And Paul knows that better than any of us. The amount of times he suffered, the amount of times he was beaten or imprisoned, growth was hard. Yet that didn't detract him from his goal, from his aim, from his priority to become more like Christ. So why am I talking about these simple truths that most of us know, right? Almost everybody in here, I'm sure, could come in today and say, hey, it's New Year's. I should probably try to grow in my relationship with God, right? Well, why I wanted to spend a little bit of time on the idea, on the concept, on the truth of growing in Christ, that it must be a priority, that it takes work, is because of it leads naturally to the need to be mentored and to mentor people, right? Growth is a priority. It needs to be a priority, and it's hard. So we can't do it alone. We need help, especially as younger people. We need somebody who is going to look out for us, who's going to have our best interests in mind, who's going to help motivate us and spur us on to live a life that's Christ-like. So looking, number three, right? Growth is best achieved by having an example to imitate, follow. Roddy gave some great examples of Old Testament figures and spending time specifically talking about Paul and Timothy. Paul is chock full of telling people to be imitators, right? Philippians 3:17, be imitators of me. Watch carefully those who are living this way. Philippians 4:9, and what you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things. Imitate me. 1 Corinthians 4:16, I encourage you then, be imitators of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 6, and you become imitators of us and the Lord. I could keep on going, right? But the point is, Paul is clearly saying and showing that there's a need not only to imitate people who are older or further along in the faith, but also to be imitators of Christ. Remember your leaders who spoke God's message to you. Reflect on the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. This concept of imitation, modeling, and observing is seen as invaluable in many areas of our lives, right? It's not just the spiritual realm. If I wanted to learn about cars, it would make sense for me to go to somebody who knows about cars to learn from them. I can't change oil, so I would need a lot of work, but that would be a person to go to. When I was a young attorney, it would make sense to go to an older attorney for advice about how to draft a motion. What do I do before, when I stand before the judge for the first time? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? What if I forget something? You know, the same concept applies to all different areas of our lives. We are better off when we have someone to imitate, when we have someone to observe, when we have someone to model. And because of the need to have, because of our need and desire to become like Christ, to grow, we need that help. We need that example. When I was thinking about the idea that growth is difficult and that growth takes hard work, I wanted something tangible to think about. And Paul gives some tangible examples, right? Most of you know, Paul likes to talk about athletes, right? The soldier, the farmer, all people who have hard work to accomplish their goals. And most of them, I don't really know much about farming, but for an athlete and a soldier, they need other people to help refine their skills, to help them grow. So I guess where I wanted to end up, right? Because when I stand before a judge, the goal is to tell the judge what I want him to rule, what I want him to decide, and then I'm going to try to tell him how to get there, right? So if Christ-likeness is our ultimate goal, that it must be a priority, that it's hard, how do we solve the issue, right? How do we go from wanting to make it a priority to knowing that it's going to be hard, to actually making it happen? That's the hard part of the Christian life, right? If it was as easy as just being in agreement that we should grow like Christ, then we'd all be solid. But unfortunately, there's work to be done that's difficult. So how do you go about, if you're a younger person, middle-aged, finding someone to imitate, finding someone to observe, finding someone to be a model for you? Well, I think the first thing that you would probably need to do, and that I need to do, is to know what you need, right? Go back to that self-assessment, the areas maybe where you're wasting your life, the areas that you need help in. Do some self-assessment. Know what you need. For instance, take a basic inventory of your life, the different categories in your life. My work, my marriage, how I'm parenting, what kind of student I am, your relationship to the church, your involvement in the community at large. Take each one of these areas and think about where you might need help. You know, if I have an unruly two-year-old, maybe it would make sense for me to seek out someone whose kids are grown, who's gone through that same process, who maybe could offer advice and encouragement, who I could lean on for strength, for support. Know what you need. The second part, I think, of finding someone to imitate, someone to model, someone to help mentor you, is be willing to pay the price, right? If you are going to sit with somebody and have them help you along, you're going to need to be teachable. You're going to need to show up to be teachable, to be willing to change, to be willing to listen to someone who's going to tell you hard things maybe about different areas of your life. So be willing to be teachable, to pay the price. Thirdly, it's important to create a plan. If you want to observe, to imitate, to have someone mentor you, it's important to have concrete plans in place. What do you want to know? Where do you want to grow? Do you want to be a more patient father, a more patient husband? Do you want to be someone who works harder to achieve success in school? You need to have concrete objectives and goals that you can move towards. So a couple of the things that meant a lot to me in spending time preparing for this message and reading this book on mentorship was this quote, which I'll read for you now. God always uses a matrix of influences to carry out the process of conversion. In the same way, he always used a matrix of influences to help believers mature in Christ, to become Christ-like. The Word, the home, the local church, experiences and ministry, crises and conflicts, books, tapes, and conferences. A mentor can play a vital role in the maturity matrix. And throughout studying and kind of doing some own self-assessment, I feel like it's easy to point to the Word. It's easy to point to church. But one of those invaluable processes for growth is having someone to imitate and follow. And that seems to be the one that's the hardest for people to get, right? It's awkward to go up to somebody and ask for help, you know? It takes humility to do that. And you're afraid that you might scare the person, right? If you come up to them and say, hey, I really need some help with this and this, you just don't know how they're going to respond. But the point of today, because Pastor's going to hit on this more completely in the following weeks, is just to plant that seed of a need to have somebody to observe, to imitate, to follow, who's going to model those Christ-like activities for you. So in conclusion, I just wanted to give us a little charge, a New Year's Eve charge, right? A little bit of hopefully motivation to do our self-assessment, to think about the ways that we are wasting our lives, that we are failing to grow in Christ each day, that we're putting those things off, that we would take that self-assessment and that we would do something about it, right? That we would make growth a priority, that like Paul, we would strive to know God, to be found in Christ, to live for Christ, to suffer like Christ, to make Christ the centerpiece of our lives, that we would pursue Christ-likeness with passion that trumps all else, that we would pursue Christ, that we would endure the hardships that come, and that we would not do it alone, but that we would seek out help from others. So that's what I hope I could convey to you today. If nothing else, it's been good for me to think about it, but I hope that you guys are able to think about some of those things as well. Thank you. Amen.